Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game! Is this the dagger?
And welcome back to another episode of the Step Back. Me, Kyle Coleman. We got Pat Sobolka, and we're being joined again by our good old friend Tim Chesner, joining the show again. How are we doing today, boys?
Good.
A little doing step back well. Action, huh?
Ready for a little Wednesday night step back.
Awesome. Here, lean in and speak up a little bit. All right, perfect. So, yeah, man, let's just jump right into it. First thing I think we all want to talk about is we got to get into that game, the Nets and Clippers game. And I think we all have some strong opinions about both of these teams. You know, they played, so it was last night's game. So, I mean, the Nets ended up winning 124 to 120. So the Nets are actually 7-2 since the Harden trade. They have the highest offense rating ever since their trade. Obviously not throughout the whole season, but just in that nine-game stretch. They're on pace to have the highest offense ever, and they have the lowest defensive rating ever. So that's just a hilarious little starting point. Okay. So, but I mean, hey, Pat, if you want to get us started, dude, jump off. You got any? What are your thoughts on the Nets and the Clippers and that game they had last night? Go ahead,
dude. All right, so this Brooklyn team, I finally saw their ceiling last night. It was weird because, like, for a little while, we were kind of looking around. And we were like, I don't know how this is all gonna work. Like, is it really gonna work out? And I kind of had that moment when KD was in Golden State, and you were kind of like, is this gonna work? And then, like, you see that he's passing and he's in this motion offense and he's sacrificing shots, and it's like, oh, this is gonna work. You know, and I kind of had that moment last night where I was like, oh my god, this team's so scary. Like, if they can just figure this out and, like, they played the Clippers, man, with the two best defensive
wins in the league. Yeah, the Clippers
have been on fire. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, come in there, and KD, Kyrie, and Harden scored 22 points in 5 minutes.
In the fourth quarter?
The game's over.
Yeah,
the game's over. Yeah, the game's over.
They were down 13 or something.
Yeah, yeah. The game's over. Yeah. They're trading buckets left and right. Here, it goes. KD gets a bucket. Kyrie gets a bucket. Kyrie gets another bucket. Kyrie gets another bucket. Harden gets fouled, goes to the free throw, hits three free throws. KD comes down, gets a bucket. Harden gets fouled, right? KD gets a three. KD hits a jumper. And then KD hits this dribble pull down, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, lethal. Unstoppable.
And he does a little gallop, and it's a little cross. He gets to elbow. Yep. He just buries it. Yeah. The game's over.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah. Everybody go home. Thanks for coming. Thanks for showing up. Yeah, dude, they looked awesome.
Unbelievable, man. Uh-huh. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, I think
you got some thoughts here?
Yeah, so I think we got to talk about that first, though, is we say they might have hit their ceiling last night, but they only won by 4 points. They, like you said, the lowest defensive.
They can't play any defense
team ever. I mean, Kawhi still got his. He got 33 last night. PG got 26, which is going to happen. I mean, those guys are both superstars, too. But I think the injury...
Careful with that word around.
Kawhi Leonard is a superstar.
Kawhi Leonard is
PG
most
is
certainly
5 points on 3 of 28 shooting in a playoff.
Whatever, man.
Anyway,
go ahead. You just throw that term around.
Yeah.
I guess everybody's a superstar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pat's a superstar.
But I thought last night was kind of to go off what Pat was saying. I think it's absolutely kind of a cool thing to see is Kyrie got 39. Harden got 23, 14 dimes, 11 rebounds. I think he's, before we were kind of saying, oh man, is like Harden going to be upset that he's not getting all the shots and everything? I think we're past the point of that. He's clearly the point guard. He's clearly going to dish things out. He's going to average 13 assists this year. Like,
yeah.
I think he's okay with just dishing it out, and he's still going to get his like 20, 23. I'm sure there's going to be some games where those guys are like, man, we're not hitting shots.
Yeah. And he'll drop 40 some nights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He'll have a 40-point triple-double at some point this year when you need it.
Yeah.
And so
it's just whoever has it going is the guy who's going to score the most.
Dude, and the cool thing about that, I think, is like we always say, like KD doesn't really need the ball. I think Harden's kind of proving he doesn't need the ball that much either. He's going to dish it off and let these guys work. Kyrie needs the ball, and they're just accepting it. They're like, all right, Kyrie, like...
You're the two guard.
Yeah, if you want to go get buckets and hold on to the ball, go get us 38. Go get us 42. Yeah.
Like, and he's not going to average 38, but he had it going.
Right.
So, like, James Harden might have it going next time, and Kyrie might have 20. You know what I mean? And Harden might get 42 and 13 dimes. You know what I mean? It's like they all have positions. It's like... Harden is your point guard, Kyrie is your two guard, and Durant's your wing. You just got to fill out the roster now.
So, I think this team could be... I think they're winning the East, without a doubt. The East is theirs. They're running through the East. None of those teams scary.
Very minimum, they're in the finals.
Yes.
If not for my yearly Boston pick, I would be going
No. So, hear me out.
Yeah, you say Boston every year. So, I was just talking to him in the car. At some point, you're going to be right, though. Those kids are going to be ready to win.
So, that team, if they can get to the finals, Kyrie's been there. KD's been there. Right? They're not done. They're going to make moves. This isn't over yet. I mean,
yeah, but we can't just pretend that they have some roster.
They're not done.
That roster right now. Are you taking them
to win the? You're
taking them to win
the East.
To win the East.
Yeah.
If they don't make a move.
So, yeah, for sure, they're definitely winning the East without making a move.
Okay. So what are you going to do with Embiid?
I don't know what they're going to do, but something's going to be done. Well, that's not going to be the same team. I can only assume that they're going to be making more moves. They're not going to go into the playoffs with this team, I promise you.
Okay.
But hear me out.
I agree, but I'm just saying.
So, if they can get to the finals, weird things have happened, man. Kyrie has his game.
One injury does change everything.
For sure. KD has his game. That's two, right? Harden has his game. That's three. And whatever happens, and, you know, the fourth game happens.
I feel like it's ballsy to trust you're going to get one game that James Harden's going to take over
for
in
sure.
The finals.
Yeah. For sure. But, I mean, if he's 15, 11, and 10, you know, I mean, that's tough. That's super tough.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, you have to bank on those guys not having a complete meltdown, not getting mad at the
media.
Not... But going hiatus, not like all this random other not basketball stuff that will continue to happen with Brooklyn's basketball team. You know what I mean? Like, you have to count on this other stuff too. You know, like, and I just don't know. If we're talking about, obviously we all think they're going to make moves, but we can't just think that they have a team that they don't. Right now their bigs are...
You think they're going to go into the playoffs with this team?
Probably not, but all the reports have been about them getting guards. Why are they getting Shumpert? Why are they getting J.J. Redick? Why are these the reports? You need a 4 and a 5. You need a starting 5 because D.J. is not cutting it.
He came off the bench last night. Jeff Green started at the 5.
And Jeff Green is your starting 4.
Yeah, I mean,
so
not,
what are we doing? Like, you need a 4 and a 5. You don't need J.J. Redick. You don't need Iman Shumpert. You need a 4 and a 5. So, yeah, I'm sure they are making moves. They're sitting there talking about getting these guys. I'm not sure why. They should be getting other guys, but...
They're
trying to improve. Sorry, go ahead.
They're not going to go into the playoffs with KD guarding Embiid. That's not going to happen. In the 5. KD playing the 5 in their little death lineup with 2 minutes to go. KD's playing the 5. That's not going to continue to happen. KD can't guard Embiid. He can't guard maybe Giannis, but, like, come on. You know? Like, that's aggressive down there. So,
I don't know, man. They can't guard anybody.
For sure.
Have they given up less than 120 points in a game?
Yeah, go ahead.
Have all their games been over 120? Last night they gave up 120. Was that their best defensive effort?
They held the
Milwaukee.
They held the Heat to like 85 points, but without Jimmy, without
it's not
Bam.
The same thing. It's
yeah, right. I mean, I guess just saying, like, since they've gotten them.
I don't know, man. I don't trust them yet. They haven't. You got to show me. Show me, and then I'll believe.
Well, so I got two things to say on that one. The first thing is, okay, you said who's going to guard Embiid, but in all reality, like, I don't think that's their strategy. Like, they're just going to go in and be like, all right, Embiid, drop 50 and 20, like. Every game, we're just going to outscore you. Like, that is truly what they're trying to do to win games. And the one thing I wanted to say, Pat, about what you said is, okay, like, KD's going to have his game, Harden's going to have his game. But the only issue I see with that is, like, whose game was it last night? Like, Kyrie went off for almost 40 points, but you still had KD chipping in 28. You still had Harden dropping a 23-point triple-double. Like, if Harden goes off for a 50-point triple-double and Kyrie scores 12 points because he can't make a bucket and KD only gets 20 that night, like, they're only at 100. They had 124 points last night, and like 93 of it came from those three guys.
Yeah, like you can't bank on that.
You're banking on those guys literally scoring 90 points a game for your team.
Joe Harris can do
that. Joe Harris will give you 15 or 20. He'll give you 15 or 20. You can count on that. You can count on 15 or 20 from Joe Harris.
I can count on Kyrie. Kyrie has been there in the finals. We've seen it. We've seen
Man, you're close. All these games are close, though, man. Because if you just – that's pretty much what you're counting on. And then you're counting on
– Kyrie – all right. So if this comes down to who's suiting up on finals night. I mean, who's really coming to play? Harden? I mean, we don't know. KD's – I mean, he's coming to play. Kyrie's coming to play.
And, dude, Kyrie coming back from, like, his, like, sabbatical looked amazing.
Those guys can get you two games, for sure. Those guys can get you two games.
On the Lakers?
Possibly. They'll get you two games.
Possibly.
Oh, I think if,
possibly.
They, if
the Lakers are the number one defense in the NBA.
I think.
Yeah, statistically, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Numbers don't lie.
What's up with that offense? That game is in like 2 weeks. I'm sure they're both just chomping at the bit. Everyone knows that that's – everyone's like, oh, this is awesome.
I mean, it literally will be labeled. Or like,
it's still not even – think of how much it speaks to LeBron's greatness. That it's 2 versus 3, and everyone's like, oh, this is a great matchup. Yeah. Like, that just speaks – LeBron's like two guys, even though he's like 90 years old out there. Like, they should probably have a third superstar if we're really calling that even. Like, yeah, it's not really even. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll call it what it is. We'll play along with your little rules.
LeBron will win in five. Like, I don't think LeBron the Nets are going to win.
Yeah.
I don't think the Nets are going to win the finals. I think they still need a big. They still need to make a couple moves. Like, they're not done. I think we can all agree this team is not going to be the team that's going to the finals, right?
Well, so
like, buyout or free agent or trade, right. Whatever we're doing here, they're going to make another move.
So
this team's not going to be the final roster. Like, let's be honest with ourselves, right?
Well, let's see.
Go ahead.
If they make a trade or they buy someone out, like, how many minutes are you giving that guy, or are you just taking away minutes from another guy who's not really, like, playing that much? Because you see those guys each had, like, almost 40 minutes.
Take him away from Jeff Green. Jeff Green's playing way too much. He should be a bench guy anyways. He's awesome. He's solid. But come on, man. I can't be starting Jeff Green out here in the finals.
Dude, but that's the thing is, like, are you going to ride three guys like KD, dude, coming off an Achilles? You want him playing 40 minutes
that one night? It's their first night together?
For a 4-7-game series playing every other night, you want KD playing 40 minutes? Kyrie, who's like, man, I might not even want to play tonight without an injury.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I don't trust any of those guys. I don't trust any of those guys, not because I'm bagging on them. It's just their situation. It's like, I just don't trust. They got to put it together and show me all the way through the finals before I'm in on them.
If everything stays true and we ride it out and we stay injury-free over in Brooklyn – that team's scary, man. Dude.
As presently constructed, are they the best team in the East?
Yes.
Yes. But, dude, I think you need guys, like, just kind of, again, touching on what I was saying. It's like, I think you need to get somebody who's going to take minutes from those three guys. Like, and they're kind of proving it, like, all right, like, we're not even going to have all three guys play every game. Like, all right, James, you take off this game. KD, you take off this game. Kyrie, take three games off if you want. You know what I mean? Like, they just... I think they're really thinking, like, all right, we got to get these guys all healthy to the playoffs, and then we can play them all. Still then, 40 minutes a game for each one of those guys, like, I don't know if they're up 3-1 in a series.
Yeah, I don't even know
series,
if they make it to the finals.
One of those guys?
I don't know if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's like, that's just one of those teams that's just built for something to go wrong, man.
I don't know.
Speaking of, okay,
there's so much firepower though. I do kind
of
Like, so what if one of those guys gets injured? So say Kyrie goes down, you got James Harden and KD. Who else do you like more than those two guys still in the East though?
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it
like,
out
those
there,
guys
man.
Will take over
hold up,
a game
hold up.
Too.
I got one more thing on that game. I want to shift a little bit to the Clippers, to the other side. Why is Luke Kennard playing 4 minutes?
He just got a bag.
Wait,
he just got a bag.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's a massive check. What, 4-year deal?
And they were paying people by the skin of their teeth, too. They don't have extra money.
You didn't pay Montrezl Harrell?
Right.
You let him walk?
Right.
He's go
like
join
18 a game right now.
You let him
Lakers.
Go join the Lakers on a 1-year minimum? And then you went out and go and sign Luke Kennard. You play him 4 minutes?
Yeah, it's disrespectful.
What are you talking about?
It's disrespectful.
Dude, he's getting
what are we doing?
4 years, like $54 million or something like that. Yeah, dude.
Four minutes?
He's got a nice deal,
Dude, and their team's not that deep. Like, yeah, we were talking about this before the show. Like, dude, last year you looked at the Clippers and you were like, oh, man, like, they got two starting lineups. Like,
yes.
Whoever you put together, like, these guys can play with anyone. Dude, this year, like, not only injuries are going to play a factor for the Clippers, like, we know that. Dude, their team is not as deep.
Yeah, they just don't have as many good players.
Dude, you're not even playing your guys you're supposed to play. You have good players. Dude, play them. Why aren't you playing your good players?
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre that you'd spend that much money on like a random bench guy and then not play him much.
What?
That's really weird. He played really well last season. Like, he probably earned the contract.
I saw him knock a couple shots down to
the money.
He's solid. I used to rip on Luke Kennard a lot, and you hate on me for that, which is true, because I used to rip Luke Kennard.
He's pretty good, dude.
Because he used to play in Detroit, and they sucked, and whatever.
And you hate Duke.
Yeah, I hate Duke.
But, I mean, dude, he's pretty good. He earned that, whatever it is, 12, 13.
He's like Joe Harris.
He earned that. Yeah. He's just like Joe Harris, just not as good.
Joe Harris
can get bumped. It's a similar thing, dude. Yeah. Joe Harris is not just a shooter either. Joe Harris can
put the ball
on the floor, finish with buckets, both hands. Yeah, Joe Harris is a complete basketball player, at least on the offensive end.
Dude, and you're going to need Kennard to get minutes during the regular season when you come to the playoffs and you're like, all right, we need somebody to like, all right, PG's obviously going to not have a good game or two in the playoffs. Kawhi's probably going to be pretty consistent, but then you're going to be like, all right, who's that guy who can just randomly get me like 28 points in a game? Oh, we've only played him like 10 minutes a game, like the whole regular season. Like, we're going to need Luke Kennard to get some more minutes.
All right, I have a question here. All right, I would like to shift this a little bit to, you know, KD's rings, in my opinion, are useless. They are nothing. They mean nothing. He did not earn those rings. Everyone says, like, oh, he earned them, though. He was the best player. Well, it's easy to be the best player when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are behind you. I that means nothing to me. So this season, considering he has yet another superstar studded lineup, teammates everywhere, Hall of Famers all over the place, my question is, if he doesn't win the finals with this team, what does that do to his legacy? Because I know what it would do to LeBron's legacy if he had two Hall of Famers, if he had Harden and Kyrie and didn't win the title. It's championship or bust. Well, so what does that do to KD's legacy?
So I counter that. I think KD's rings are they count. And they're rings, man. I mean, LeBron teamed up with D-Wade and Bosh, and I mean they weren't Steph and Klay for sure. But
73-9 four but, Hall of Famers.
I don't know, man.
Not the same thing.
I don't know, man.
The fact that you would even put that in the same breath
is ridiculous. The fact that he did what he was supposed to do.
Ray Allen.
They're not a championship team before that. He joined a champion.
Yeah, that's true. 73. I'm just saying they're still champions.
The two-time MVP.
He did what he was supposed to do.
Unanimous MVP.
What if he didn't win?
That would have hurt his legacy too.
Yeah, for sure.
So my question is, if he doesn't win with this similar star-studded Hall of Fame-studded lineup, does that hurt his legacy? When he loses in five to the Lakers, does that hurt
probably,
his legacy?
Probably.
It has to. Especially, like, dude, I mean, you see, like, big threes and everything like that. Dude, Chris Bosh, obviously a number one when he was in Toronto. But, dude, does anybody think Chris Bosh is the caliber player of James Harden? No. Like, dude, this is a big three that we've never seen before. You know, so, and even, like, LeBron, Kyrie, and K-Love. Like, dude, K-Love was a glorified role player. Like, on that, you know what I mean? He definitely, he stepped up. He guarded Steph Curry on that last shot and everything. He had some games where he scored 20 points.
That whole possession was so painful.
I know.
Dude, I mean, Bosh is 24-11 in Toronto, his last year in Toronto.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying he's Harden. Okay, I'm just saying a little bit of context. Like, he also is not...
For sure.
But he's like he gets a heart.
He's a superstar.
He gets the worst end
superstar.
Of the stick, but like he's a superstar in Toronto.
Multiple time all-star. But I guess I'm just saying that to your point to be like,
we have
never seen this before. So hell yeah, it hurts KD's legacy. He goes out and then also like, okay, if you go out and KD, they do win the ring here. But Kyrie was the one who led him in scoring. Harden was the one who led him in rebounds and assists. Then you go, okay, he won two finals MVPs on a 73-9 team. Goes up and teams up with two other guys, doesn't win finals MVP. The two other guys were the driving factors. I don't know. Like, isn't that interesting? Almost kind of hurts his legacy too.
Yeah, yeah. See, dude. Know. Well, hey, man. If we're, I just want to judge everyone equally. If we're pretending all these guys are equal, then I want to know, does Kawhi, how much does that hurt Kawhi's reputation if they don't win another one? If he chokes another one down, like. If we're going to start talking about people's negative
Kawhi was
accolades,
never really in that discussion.
It was kind of in that discussion from the media.
Toronto,
best player in the world discussion, he was definitely in. Definitely.
He's definitely kicked out of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, yeah.
That's
he's down. Like, he's like seventh.
Well, I mean, but like you said, their team is not that deep anymore. There's a couple teams like that, too, where like they're just not the same team. You're like looking at me, you're like, man, there's just, it's just not there.
Denver.
Like last night, Fred VanVleet went off for 54 points, right? Freddie Buckets goes off for 54. Our buddy, another caller of our show, friend of the show, Leo, shout out Leo, his brother guarded Fred VanVleet in high school. Yeah, and Freddie dropped like 60 on him.
Obvious.
Some outrageous
obvious
number
amount
like
of
that.
Points.
Yeah, something crazy like that.
He was like, coach, can we, you know.
But I mean, another team similar, like their roster just depleted. Like you look at it, you're like, oh, I thought that was the Raptors. Now it's like a couple guys that I thought were on the Raptors and a bunch of guys, you're like, these guys are in the NBA? Like, who? All right, so like they're, so getting big minutes, or getting legit minutes, I'll say, on Toronto's bench, we have DeAndre Bembry, Utah Watanabe, Stanley Johnson, Matt Thomas, Malachi Flynn, Paul Watson. These guys are all getting minutes last night. Like, man. Like, obviously, Freddie Buckets is out there raining buckets down, as he is known to do.
How many minutes did VanVleet play?
But, like, man, they're there to get because...
Like 40.
Yeah. Because, like, he's got, like, man, there's not a lot of help out there with him. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, his line is incredible, man. It's a career night. It's a franchise high. It's 54 on 17 of 23. He's 11 of 14 from deep. He's 9 of 9 at the line. He tops it off with 3 steals and 3 blocks. And they get the 123-108 win over the Magic. I mean, that's crazy. And the fact that this kid's story is awesome too. Like, they brought it up a little bit today, but like, it's like, you know, he's undrafted. He averages 12 a game his last year at Wichita State. He's undrafted. He's out there. He just broke the entire Raptors franchise scoring record. He broke the all-time scoring record for a undrafted player, which was previously held by Moses Malone, which was 53
in a game.
40 right. years prior, yeah, scored 53. Yeah. So it's like, this is a career night, man. But also, like, this team kind of sucks out here. Like, what are you guys' opinion on Freddie and on the Raptors in general? I mean, it's kind of tough out here. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about last night's game? And he just absolutely went off.
Dude, Fred VanVleet, 54. Listen to the stat line. 17 of 23, 9 and 9 at the line, 11 of 14 from deep.
Yeah, I just said that, dude. Thanks.
Dog, you missed 6 shots.
Uh-huh. And 3 steals and 3 blocks on top of it, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
Doing it on the defensive end. And if you forget, too, that game was still hanging in the balance with him having 46 points through 3 quarters. They were up, like, 5. They needed every one of those 54 points, too. I mean, they needed it. And like you were saying, too, like, you got those guys on the bench who are pretty much no name. Shout out Stanley Johnson for saying he could guard LeBron 3 years ago.
Yeah, hilarious. Awesome.
You got those 5 guys that nobody's ever heard of coming off the bench, and the 5 guys that you do have out there, Fred VanVleet and Siakam, pretty good players, but not like guys who are going to take over. And then like old Lowry out there too. So like your starting 5 isn't that great either.
Did you see DeRozan? DeRozan, shout out Freddie. He's like, I know Kyle's old ass. Somebody's got to do something out there. That's hilarious. That's so funny.
I know. Dude, they're still boys, right? I mean, those guys
definitely
are so tight.
And Kyle and DeMar are best friends.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
Right. But I got to say, though, I think I was saying last time I was here, too, I do think that they end up sneaking in. And, like, you get the Raptors into that, like, play-in series, too. Like, they could easily win a couple games against
them. Yeah, they had the experience.
Hornets
but, I mean,
versus
again,
Raptors
their,
or something.
Their roster is just depleted, man. Right. Their roster is so strange. Like, it's really weird.
Dude, we've seen Fred VanVleet hit massive shots in big games.
And don't get me wrong. He's 20 a game right
his
now.
His whole career.
He's 20 a game. He's 20 in chance. 20.5. His whole career,
even in college at Wichita State, he went to a Final Four, man, hitting big shots. They were the number one – or actually, fact check. I don't know. Yeah. I don't – did he go to a Final Four? I don't think so. They were a number one seed. They were undefeated, and they lost to
Kentucky.
Cat. Yeah. They lost to Cat, and that was tough. But Fred VanVleet, even at Wichita State, hit massive shots. Him and Ron Baker were the all-time leadingest backcourt in Wichita State history. This guy's just a winning player, man. He makes winning plays. He hits big shots. My man's a walking bucket. Like, pay the man. Right. He's certified. How many guys do we know in the league that get 50 points in a game in their whole career? A lot of guys never do it. Fred VanVleet's in a different class, guys. Like, this is a different breed of guard we're talking about. With no more undrafted. Like, no more of that. This guy's an elite guard. Like, pay this man his respect.
Oh, and I mean, if you're going to build out the Raptors over the next couple of years, like, if you're going to start dishing people, like, Fred VanVleet can't be one of them. I mean, you got to look at him and Siakam being the two guys you're going to roll with forward. Maybe try to trade for somebody, get a good, you know, if you
have a good draft. He won them that title, basically. Dude.
Oh,
he
fact.
Was just knocking down
Steph shots. Curry's calling for switches on Fred VanVleet with 3 minutes to go. It's tough, man. He's like, bro, someone come get this guy.
Yeah, you better guard him.
Yeah.
Every big three, Fred VanVleet in that series.
Yeah, uh-huh. You better come guard him.
With for, a black eye.
Yeah. Dude, he's just taking massive shots. Remember, I was like, dude, the balls to even take some of these shots are unbelievable.
By an undrafted.
Yeah, and you're out undrafted. There, you're like, half these people don't even know who this guy is. Dude, he's out there playing in the NBA Finals, hitting massive shots.
Dude, and all those ones, too, were where they'd be up, like, 10 the whole game. Warriors are kind of starting to make that run. They cut it to, like, 3 or 4 points. Boom, Fred VanVleet, 3.
Uh-huh.
And then it just leads to, like, a Siakam dunk and a Kawhi, like, mid-range. Uh-huh. And then they're back up 10. And then Warriors start making a run. And then Fred VanVleet, another huge bucket. Like, painful. Dude, his are all not only, like, big shots, but they're all the momentum, like, swinging shots.
Yeah, yeah,
too.
That,
like,
yeah, he hits, you know, massive, what I mean? Shots. Yeah. Yes. The shots that make you call timeout.
Exactly.
Yeah,
like,
we gotta regroup.
Like, all right, they're about to go on a run.
Yeah.
Like,
we gotta switch something up. We gotta regroup.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. What's his ceiling?
Well, what do you do with Kyle Lowry now? Do you
can he take a team to the playoffs?
Who's
like
your
D'Lo did?
Cast?
Yeah,
like D'Lo.
Like put.
Yeah.
Is Fred VanVleet D'Lo?
I'm not.
Yeah, like put him on a team. You know, if you're just building a team, he's the number one guy. Can he take a team to the playoffs?
I don't know. It's probably close.
Probably not a number one guy. That's probably so intense. But I'm saying, like,
stick him on Chicago right now.
He could be
now.
A number two on a championship team.
Stick him on Chicago right now. Him and LaVine and then the rest of those
they're
guys.
They're a playoff team.
Are they a playoff team?
Yes, they're a playoff team.
7 or 8 seed for sure.
Yeah, they're a playoff team.
I buy that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, you're just, with that situation, just saying, like, too, you're at, like you said, you have Markkanen, you have LaVine and everything, too. Like, I mean, that's kind of a little big three right there, you know? Three guys.
A guy like that. By the way, the Bulls had a report of talking about Lonzo. And this guy's bad-mouthing it. I'm like, dude, that's a great deal. If you can improve at a position, you improve at the position. He's talking to me about, like...
Well, if you hate Kobe White...
Like, he's talking to me about, like, well, it's not going to make us win the East. It's like, dude, there's not a lot of trades out there. It's going to let us win the East. Like, if you can improve at a position, you improve at a position, I think.
Sure.
Like, the Bulls need a point guard. Like, I think... And Freddie VanVleet, I would love to take him. Monte Morris, I would have taken him. I'll take Lonzo. I need somebody who I can be like, oh, this is my point guard. You know what I mean? Because they haven't had, like, a guy like that since D-Rose.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, this is my point guard. It's just always like a shifting.
Well, dude, I would love
Someone needs to run that team. Like that.
I agree. I think.
I would love Freddie there.
There's a bunch of other teams
I would love him into.
Hear me out. So LaVine is clearly a major piece in what we're trying to do here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Keep him, yeah.
Patrick Williams.
Definitely keep him.
Patrick Williams.
Probably keep Patrick Williams.
Okay. Lonzo, I don't know, man. I feel like we have so many valuable assets. The Bulls do. Lowry, valuable. Kobe White, valuable. Patrick Williams, valuable. I'm not saying move him. Wendell, valuable. LaVine, very valuable. Their pick, very valuable. So I just want to make sure we're getting as much as we can get, you know?
Dude, if you could get.
Because we can't. Kobe White's 20 years old, man. He's a 20-year-old point guard. You're telling me
he's not a point guard.
Well, whatever. whatever you want to call him.
You need someone to be the point guard, though.
For sure. Right. He's not a point guard, but yeah, he's a 20-year-old guard, man. Like, he's getting buckets.
Fine, I'll take Lonzo and Kobe White in the same backcourt then.
I like Lonzo and Levine in the backcourt. But if you
not over Levine. I'm just saying, Kobe White and move him to the two. Like, you need a guy who's, like, in charge of making decisions around here. Like, that's the teams that win have those guys. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like, you can't just have one of these guys who's a two masquerading as a one. Right. Unless you have LeBron on your team and you have Kyrie, then you can. But that's LeBron. He's the guy. You got to have, like, a guy. If you don't have, like, the guy, like, what do you got, man?
So that's the whole thing, man. Nothing to build on. That's the whole thing, man. Are we getting – is Lonzo the guy?
The point guard? I don't know. If you could get another, like, star in the lineup, then maybe. What if it was Lonzo, Levine, and then a Paul George-level guy at the three, and then Lowry and Wendell?
Yeah, that's
– now all of a sudden you're like, oh,
yeah,
that's kind of a
how are we getting that guy?
I'm just saying – you have all that value that you're talking about.
Yeah,
you can
move
some of those guys. Move Lowry and Wendell and somebody off the bench, another one of those guys. Move Kobe White, too. Move all those guys. Keep Patrick Williams. Keep Zach LaVine.
Right.
Facts.
Keep – I don't know. That might be it.
Dude, what's up?
Yeah, and try and get Lonzo, I guess. But then, I like Bagley. I want the Bulls to get
that's
Bagley.
That's fine,
that'll
too. I'm cool
awesome.
With that,
yeah.
too. But I'm saying, like, you still need a point guard.
Sure.
Bagley doesn't create his own shot. Somebody's got to get him the ball. Somebody's got to get him the ball in the right time as to where doing so is in the flow of the game as to where we can win.
Why does Lowry not play the five?
I don't know. I always
thought
that.
He's like 7 feet tall. Is he just soft?
You know I hated the Wendell Carter pick because why did you just draft a big? You just got like
– You have Lowry.
We're entering this era of like bigs can rip threes and like you got this 4-5 stretch big.
That's why Lowry's a four like that too. Like I think he's just not ready to like
– He's supposed to be like AD where like I can use him as a four or a five.
Fifth year in the league.
Think about that though. Like AD has always said like I'm not a five.
But I'll play the five.
But I'll play the five if we need.
In big games or big moments of games
or
big series, I will play the five if I need to.
Lowry hates it.
I should be able to use Lowry like that. But now I just drafted an actual five. Like – now I'm giving a bunch of minutes to a guy who can't stretch the floor, who can't guard people on the perimeter that well.
You know what I mean? One thing I'll say on that, too, though, in the comparison to AD is, like, AD can straight up guard a five, though, too. Like, he's borderline defensive player of the year caliber guy. Like, Lowry, like,
cannot.
Liability.
Yeah, he can't. He's got none of that.
Already, dude.
Got none of that.
You want him banging with Embiid? You want him going down there with, like,
he's 7 feet tall. He's huge.
I'm ready to move. I'm out.
No,
I'm out.
He just had like 30 the other day too.
Yeah, I don't care,
bro. I remember
17 shooting.
I know. He's awesome. I know. As soon as we move him, he's gonna go crazy. But
right,
I don't know what you want me to say, man.
Like, he sucks right now.
Yeah,
it's painful over here.
Yeah,
I remember the night he got drafted, man. I was sitting in B-dubs, and I saw that they drafted him. I was like, oh, dude, this is awesome. It was an unbelievable pick.
He was borderline rookie of the year that year.
Dude,
he
that was
that
an unbelievable pick. If he could
United
be,
Center.
If he could be, just what everyone thought he was gonna be. I mean, he could be. He could be so awesome.
He says so much potential and even so much talent. Like when they give him the ball and they run plays for him and he shoots the ball, he goes for 31-11 or whatever it is. Right. But it's like then tomorrow he'll get 9-6.
Ice cold.
Yeah,
so
like,
painful.
Right, well,
so
he'll
painful.
Go 3-12 and he'll have 9-6. And you're like, well, that is just.
Yeah, he'll go to like Utah and we'll be like, gosh, that sucks.
Dude, what's up with the Bulls cap?
Utah's
right now,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? I said, what's up with the Bulls cap right now?
Otto Porter's done at the end of the year.
Otto expires. That's like a max slot.
Yeah.
So why don't you see if you can draw a guy? Like, dude, you see.
There's not that many free agents this upcoming year, are there?
No.
Kawhi.
That's true. It's the Kawhi.
And PG.
Kawhi. PG.
No, PG's not going anywhere. They're running that
back. PG just signed a massive
extension.
Oh,
yeah. He's right. He's right. Yeah, he did.
For like $190 million.
Yeah, I forgot.
But, dude, I mean, I don't think Kawhi's going anywhere, but just, like, I don't know. You see this young talent, like, maybe you dish Kobe White, maybe you dish Wendell. Like,
it's like Drummond and Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday just signed an extension, too.
Yeah.
CP might be up. But he's gonna be old at that point.
I mean, they need like a wing, like dude, a, like you said, like a dude. So much hate on Paul George, but like dude,
it's a good draft.
A guy like that, yeah. Maybe you go in and try to.
Dude, you know who else will be free?
Trade up in the
draft. Derrick Rose will be free. Unrestricted.
Bring him back.
He's awesome, dude.
Have him honestly retire. I agree. Six man.
Could not agree. Could not agree more.
He's coming back. I think he has said that he wants to come back. I think I might be wrong, but like I'm pretty sure at some point in time he has said to someone that he wants to come back to Chicago.
Dude, he's on like a one year $7 million deal or something.
He's one of the best players on the Pistons.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, they suck, but he's hooping.
Yeah, for sure.
You see Blake Griffin rip his jersey.
Unbelievable.
That's just the epitome. Somebody who rips their jersey is the epitome of just we suck.
Dude, speaking of Blake Griffin, We were talking about Boston. I heard you guys talking about Boston needing big on one of the previous shows.
Uh-huh.
Is there any way Blake Griffin can get to Boston?
Yeah, I think you have to move Kemba.
Blake's on like a $30-something million deal.
I'm so fine with moving. Dude, I mean, Kemba's on, though, like 25 mil. Like,
yeah. Oh, if you're going to move Kemba for him?
Kemba.
How much does Kemba have left on his deal? Do you know?
I think he signed like a 4-year max deal going
Did he sign an extension?
Year.
Like, how much longer do we have of this? Because he got exposed by Curry last night.
It's like 2 or 3 years.
Curry gave him like 37, right?
Yeah.
37 last night. He's 11 and 8.
This year and then 2 more years.
And he's not there. He's not going to stay there.
Yeah, they have similar deals.
You have 2 more. You see Kemba in Boston for 2 more years?
Probably not.
Oh. Yeah, no.
I don't really think he works well. They also need Lonzo.
Yeah.
Brown and Tatum with Lonzo each go up 3 or 4 points a game.
Yeah, Kemba's just not the right guy. Danny Ainge had a right idea. He did the right thing. He brought in the right guy. It just didn't work.
Yeah, he tried. Yeah, he went for it. Yeah, he always goes for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
just didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted, like, you know, a poor man's Kyrie who was just going to take the ball a little more out of his hands and give it to the young guys.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, dude, Blake Griffin's out here. Like, you guys were saying, he has these games where he dominates. Like, dude, Blake Griffin's out here getting, like, 15, 12, and 10 in some games, too. Like, have him go play some decent defense. He
dominates.
Can stretch the floor a little
bit.
They
suck, but he like plays. His stats are good.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you throw him with those two kids on Boston, like you never know. I mean, that's a big that you can get who's like more than just Andre Drummond.
Do you consider
a defensive player?
Do you consider? Would you consider that like a big three, or you think Blake is no longer at that level?
No, but like that's kind of one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about too. Is like, is a big three like the Nets right now, or I don't know, say like the Heat, or when even Boston did it like back in the day? You guys like a big three with like a limited bench, or do you like a big two like the Lakers with like a good amount of steady role players you can count on? Because lately I've been thinking a lot like, okay, you get those like two max, like clearly top 7, top 8 guys in the league. And then you just fill out the rest of the roster with guys who know their role.
Yeah, yeah, that's one school of thought, for sure.
And like, you know, like I was saying before, it's like, you know, Chris Bosh, obviously, like, superstar caliber player.
He becomes a glorified role player.
He becomes a glorified role player already.
But one that you can rely on for 19, 20 a game.
True, but then do you take him and turn him into 3 role players, you know? The one guy who plays defense, one guy who's like J.J. Redick who's hitting threes, another guy who has capability to go off for like 20 points if you need it. Like, I've been kind of leaning back towards like, all right, like let's get 2 max guys.
I think it depends who they are. I think it literally depends who the guys are.
Right.
If the two, if the 3 max guys, because like, I think it's not all apples to apples. You know what I mean? That's what, like, we just made half a joke about like LeBron being worth 2 guys.
Right.
Right? Like, I think there's something to that. Cuz like, is Paul George, CJ McCollum and Blake Griffin supposed to beat LeBron and AD? Probably
no
not.
Chance.
Yeah. But like, those guys have all made all-star teams. Like, is that a weak big 3? Like, you could kind of say that they're each going to average a certain amount, and I don't know. You get the point I'm trying to make.
Totally.
Cuz like,
totally.
I think it matters the guy. I think that like the big 2, if you have LeBron or even possibly Kevin Durant or even possibly Kawhi, like if you have a top 3 player, big 2 is probably enough.
Well, so last year would have been a perfect example. I mean, obviously talking about the Lakers too, but the Clippers, I mean, that was a big 2. That was Kawhi, PG, and then just a super
Well, it seems
deep
like every
team.
Year in the playoffs is like you have, it's you have top three players in the playoffs with their teams. Top three, four, five players, like, are in, they got their teams there. And, right. like, you have to deal with those guys. You know what I mean? So it's, like, it's a combination of, like, those top three guys, who are their partners? Are they a top 20 guy? Are they a top 10 guy? Are they a top – you know what I mean? Because, like, LeBron's teammate is another top five, six player.
And that's what I mean.
That's like enough to overcome three guys up to a certain point. Now, right. if you have – KD, Kawhi, and Kyrie or Harden, that might that three might be enough to overcome your two and five or your one and five.
With a with no bench though too, and then you fill out with, you know, Dennis Schroeder. I'm very pro Dennis Schroeder.
Because like you were just saying about the Nets, like you're gonna have one guy who's gonna have his own game. Like Dennis Schroeder will win you a playoff game. Totally. Somewhere in this playoff streak that we're gonna come up to this season, Dennis Schroeder will have 30 plus
at one point in time.
He'll 30 win them, and 8. He'll win them right. a playoff game. Yeah, for sure. You know, so it's like you don't have that guy if you have the three guys. I know what you mean.
Right. And so another example of that too is like,
by the way, shout out Steve Nash. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Shout out Steve Nash because I was bitching and moaning about him not calling timeouts and he called a timeout when they were up 3. So he's out here learning and adjusting the way he coaches on the fly. He also listens to the step back. What's up, Steve Nash? Big fan. Big, big fan. You didn't deserve those two MVPs, but I'm still a big fan.
Regarding Steve Nash like that too, I just really wish they wouldn't have put Mike D'Antoni next to him.
Like, yeah, that's just tough. That's going to be tough.
And then now you've got James Harden back with him too. I mean, it's like, what are we seeing right now? Like, we're literally just seeing a team that's like, go score every point possible and don't play any defense. Like, I know we're coming back to the Nets. We kind of talked about it.
No, it's cool, yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I just think that's, like, a guy.
They're a perfect example of a big three with no bench.
Exactly, exactly. And then you go and play, yeah, you got LeBron. And, I mean, Schroeder's like that guy that, like, LeBron, AD, and Schroeder's like that guy who I was saying. Like,
Montrez is another one. Kuzma will have a game.
Exactly, dude.
Kuzma hit a game winner last year at the buzzer.
Got three of those guys.
Against Denver.
Uh-huh. Like, they got multiple guys. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Like, yeah, they got multiple more options that they can hurt you at. Like, if LeBron's not going or AD's not going that night, they got more guys that might be able to get it going.
Dude, and
I got Schroeder might be able to give me 30. You don't know. I never know. He might be able to. Montrez might be able to give me 28. You don't know. He might be able to that night. Right. Kuzma might go for 30 that night.
He had 22 and 10 in his first start, Kuz.
I don't know. He might be able to. You know what I mean? It's like they got more weapons. They got more. So it's, I mean, it depends. Also, I think it depends how consistent your other guys are.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like now you're getting too, like, you're getting guys like Montrez who, like, I mean, he got exposed a little bit in the playoffs last year, but he's going to give you everything he has on D. Wes Matthews, just like guys like that who are more than just like, all right, he's going to go get you like 20 maybe tonight. Like, guys who are going to try to step it up on both sides of the floor.
Well, I mean, because you have guys like that, and we only have a big two, the team on the other side that has a big three, like the Nets, their big three has to be way more consistent than my big two does.
Totally.
Because my big two, one of my big two can miss. They can have an off game, and somebody's going to make up for that. Schroeder, Kuzma, Montrez, the combination of them. Someone's going to make up for it. If KD has an off night and Harden has an off night, sorry, you lose. If KD has an off night and Harden and Kyrie only plays halfway decent, you're probably gonna lose, dude. You have no defense, you have no bench, you know what I mean? So like I might go with the two guys as long as they're good enough. You can't have like a top 10 guy and then a top 25 guy. That's not enough. That's like Luka and KP. That's not enough.
Or Beal and Westbrook.
That's just not enough. It's not enough.
And what is Westbrook, a top like 30, 40 guy?
I don't even know. Is that, are you ready to say that? I don't know. I'm not.
No, how about that shot he hit though?
Oh, yeah.
We were all hating on him, and then he came out against his old teammate.
Oh, that was awesome.
He came out in the steal off KD's inbound.
Dude, Russ is totally a guy. Yes. And now, listen, hear me out.
He didn't make the steal, though. It was Garrison Matthews, which, tell me who Garrison Matthews is.
Hear me out. I can't. Hear me out. Russ is totally a guy. The reason that he tries to get emotional with, like, Donovan Mitchell and stuff like that, you know how he does that? Like, he tries to get in these one-on-one games. Whereas, like, other guys are like, I'm trying to just play basketball. Like, yes, Dame, Patrick Beverly. Like, Russ is always getting in these. Okay, here's why. It's because Russell Westbrook is the type of person that absolutely feeds on the emotion of a situation. Check me out. The game he broke the record for the triple doubles. Remember that? Do you remember that game?
Is that the game he ripped the like
the half court shot? Yeah.
To win the game. Yeah. a historic ending to a wonderful whatever that call was. It was a great call. It's like because that's how he operates, dude. Big, like, he wants that. Like, in his heart, like, he plays up in that moment. Like, so when it's him and KD, remember the first time they played against each other? They're clapping in each other's face, like, talking trash to each other. Like, dude, Russ loves that. Like, I'm sure in those big moments, national television games, like, when he performs poorly, dude, I'm sure that eats him alive because that's his thing, dude. That's his thing right there is, like, when it's you and me, mano y mano, grit down, bite down the mouthpiece. Like, dude, he loves that. Like, he feeds on that. So when it doesn't go well, it's just tough out here for him.
For all of the Russ Lander that we give him to, like, first of all, it's just like there's no questioning his heart and his competitiveness. Like, he goes
out,
he has skills. Like, he is a very good passer. He obviously goes in and bangs with 7-footers.
Yes, and then when he goes and plays against like big games, he cares about a little extra. Like, he can play up to the competition. Like, he can play. Every time he goes against Durant, he plays awesome.
Right, but then,
then he'll lose the game because he's so excited at the end. He dribbles the ball off his foot or something like
that. And then you're going, when he does make these, like, personal matchups, then, dude, the problem is then when he takes 40 shots and only makes 16 of them and shit like that, and then they lose by 20.
That's
like,
right. He said it live when I was reading the stats live on the Step Back the other day when that game was going on.
What is he, like, 5-for-28 or something like that?
I was like, dude, the disrespect out here. Like, dude, I'm with you. Like, he's just not a winning player. He's never going to win a ring. And now that his athleticism is gone because of all the injuries, it's not even. Now it's kind of like a train wreck. At least before it was fun. Before it was fun. But like now it's like, it's tough. Like, but.
Well, and it's sad to see too because like, I think it might have been you guys were talking about this before, but like, dude, he was an MVP 3 years ago. And now he's just getting, like, passed around the league. Like, you guys want him? I don't want him. You're making $40 million a year.
Dude, historic. He's setting history-type records.
Dude,
he's setting
3 straight years of a triple-double.
Yes,
like
unheard-of things. Dude, when I met you, you and I talked about Oscar Robertson. We were like, nobody's probably ever going to do it again. Right. Or if they did, it would be like LeBron. And, like, he's not out there doing it.
Right.
Somebody's going to come along doing what LeBron does better than LeBron. Yeah. I don't know. That might be tough. And then all of a sudden, he does it 3 years in a row. We're like...
Dude, and two of those years, too, like, he had PG with him, too. I mean, it wasn't like... The first year when he did it, he won the MVP, like... Kind of scrub lineup.
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm going to take us to
Oladipo.
The
he's boxing out.
They had Oladipo,
and he's
too,
boxing out Steven Adams. And it was just kind of a chintzy, scrubby situation.
Right.
The next two were more legit.
For sure. And they were like 3-4
And Paul George
playoffs.
Played the best season of his career.
Dude,
next
third game.
Third in the MVP voting. Like,
yes,
dude,
next
super
to Russ.
Legit season.
So, like, as much as we hate on Russ, take this in because we don't praise Russ very often. But, like, as much as we hate on him, like, dude, there's arguments to be made, like, against our position. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Like, obviously, like, Steven Adams, like, he's gotten these guys paid. You know what I'm saying? Like, without Russ, how much money is Steven Adams' career earnings?
Oh, he's a household name because of Russ.
Yeah, exactly. And how many buckets did that gentleman get that other gentleman?
Dude, and things like that, too, where, like, Russ just, like, drives in either dishes. Think about all the times Russ drives in going crazy, misses a shot. But everybody gravitates to Russ, and then Steven Adams
just
has a
drop off.
Like,
yeah, or a putback.
And last thing I want to say on Russ, too, that I was kind of thinking about this the other day, is like his evolution as a player has been like pretty spectacular. Like when he was at UCLA, everybody forgets, like, dude, K Love was with him. K Love was the best player on that team. He was the one who was supposed to be the future all star. Like, Russ, you were literally just taking
somebody
a
else
fly.
Was on that team, too.
Nick Collison, maybe?
You might be right about that. But they're just taking a flyer.
Or not Nick Collison.
Darren Collison.
Oh,
on that team. Yeah, yeah. That's
not
what I was going to say.
That's the Final Four of that year, too.
Nick Collison is Russ's homie, though. They also played together for a long time.
But you're taking a flyer on Russ as, like, just pure athleticism.
Yes.
And, like, dude, Derrick Rose and Kevin Love were the two guys out of that draft. And you look at, like, who's going to have the better career, who's going to be the first ballot Hall of Famer out of all three of those guys, it's going to be Russ. Who's the only one to win an MVP?
Damn,
Russ.
Yeah, that's you know a great mean? Point. Yeah.
So
historic numbers.
Breaking records.
Dude, Chris Broussard
year.
Says it all the time. He's like, you might not like his game, and it might never lead to a championship, but like it or not, that guy's going down as an absolute icon.
Yeah, fact.
Similar to Allen Iverson in that, like, you might never win a title playing like that, But, like, people respect it, and what you did is iconic, and what you accomplished statistically is iconic. Like, the guy's going down as a legend.
Dude, like, and you expect Russ to play, like, any other way, you know? Like, everyone's just like, all right, Russ, like, kind of, like, dial it back a little bit. Use more of your passion.
He can't.
He just can't do it. He's not going to be an all-star caliber player if he does that. So
he cannot.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's that he's not going to be an all-star caliber player if he does it. I think it's that he can't do it. I don't think he can do it.
Right.
He doesn't know how. He doesn't know what it feels like. He's never done it. He's never going to do it.
Which gives more props to a guy like James Harden, who we were saying, like, hey, you're going to be mad you're not getting 25 shots.
KD took that team to the finals.
Yeah. Dude, and
but KD dragged that team to the finals.
One argument I hate.
That's so ridiculous.
Dude,
KD dragged that team. Stop. Please, for the love of God, stop with that narrative.
Dude, who did they beat, too, in that playoff? Probably the Spurs,
Lakers, yeah. Kobe got a couple buckets dropped on him, for sure.
Yeah.
KD had a couple dribble pull-ups.
KD weighed 120 pounds that year.
Yeah, just giving everyone buckets. Yeah.
And, dude, and that's I hate when everyone's like, ah, man, they were so young that year, like... They went to the finals.
James Harden, six, man.
Yeah,
James Harden,
facts.
Six, man. Dude, look who they beat coming out of the West, man. Uh-huh. They had a harder road probably than the Heat to get to that. I mean, granted, the Heat were down 3-2 in that year. Or was that the next year? They were down 3-2.
Those are still prime pop years in the West.
Yeah.
That OKC is just running.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I mean, KD doesn't get enough credit for that.
That run?
Right. Yeah.
Well, dude, he kind of destroyed his own... narrative. People would give him credit for that run. He ruined that for himself.
Right.
He also blew a 3-1 lead and then joined that team. Who gives a shit if he also took the team to the finals?
For sure, but that should also be...
It doesn't matter. What's, like, you ruined it.
Let's
That's
be real.
So though. Ridiculous.
You already ruined it.
Yeah, they were not winning a championship. If he comes back, though, dude, they're getting swept in the second round of the playoffs that next year.
Tough. Like, tough.
Well, how did they get up?
LeBron came back with no Kyrie, dog. He knew they weren't going to win. He was like, whatever. I got to go play KD and Steph Curry. This is madness. But I'm going to go try.
Dude, I've always thought about this. Okay, so LeBron goes off for crazy in that 2018 finals. And, you know, they lose game one. JR acting all high
and everything.
But... if they win game one, they're still losing that series, but how many games do you think they take them? They squeeze another game out of Golden State.
Definitely. That changes everything. That was in Golden State. We'll take this series lead. We'll take this 1-0 series lead.
Dude,
what happens if they come out because they won that first game and they're all hyped up and win game two in Golden State? Now they're going home up 2-0.
I mean,
we don't know that's not.
That's,
we
that's
don't,
I don't know if they're winning.
We don't know
that's
not possible.
That's a ridiculous claim.
LeBron went for 49-8.
LeBron's got scrubs everywhere.
He came back down 3-1. He's got 41-15-12 coming back down 3-1. So what's the difference between one and the other?
Bro, we got Dante. Remember when Dante Jones got fined more than his NBA salary that year?
And LeBron paid it. Yeah, LeBron was like, don't even worry about it.
Dante Jones didn't play hilarious. Single minute during the regular season for two seasons, and then they're just like, yo, we need to fill out a roster.
Bro, that story's actually
hold
hilarious.
Hold on, it gets better. Yeah, go, keep going. Keep
this
going.
Story's actually hilarious. So Dante Jones is a LeBron scrub. He plays...
A fun LeBron scrub.
Yeah.
Not a LeBron scrub that I dislike.
Yeah.
LeBron
Dante
scrub.
Jones, right?
Yeah.
This is
always
early.
On the squad.
This is early Dante Jones, right?
Yeah.
And Dante Jones got... No, I'm talking about other Dante Jones, because this happened again.
I'm talking about the coaching situation.
Oh, okay, we could get to that in a second.
That hit yours on
that we can go to. I'm talking about different, this is a different Dante Jones. He played on the 2016 Cavs team. He's bench scrub, way down there, like way.
Okay.
Way down there.
Uh-huh.
And,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so, okay. But apparently he had just talked so much trash on the side, like off the bench. He had talked so much that they had fined him more than his actual NBA salary.
I remember this.
This man went to practice every day, played in every game, woke up, did all the workouts, did everything for nothing.
Dude, he got
for free.
He did it for free.
Volunteer charity work, dude. That's what it was. It was volunteer work.
He could have just done that on his own. He could have just joined the YMCA.
It was court ordered. Volunteer charity work.
Hilarious.
What I was going to say was, didn't he then become the coach?
Yes. He's the same role as like Perk.
The same coach. Yeah. No, I mean he's literally in the front office, right? He's an assistant coach.
Oh, yeah.
The same coach that then got pelted in the face by J.R. Smith with a cup of soup. I believe was Dante Jones.
Before he got shipped off back to LeBron. Am
I
right?
I don't know. You might have to fact check that. That would be absolutely hilarious.
Did JR get a ring last year with the...
Yes, he's got two rings. So two-time champion JR Smith.
So did Avery Bradley, even though he was not even in the bubble.
Awesome.
So
it's he deserves that, though. He had a great season.
Love to see
that. It was Damon Jones that got this. I knew it was another random, most likely LeBron scrub that played somewhere along the line, and he got a job. Or something like that.
That's hilarious.
Dude, I knew it was a former player.
How about the other night, the guy who was like an assistant to an assistant executive out there clapping when LeBron's missing like step backs.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, it was insane.
And then he comes back and scores like 46 in the game.
Yeah, what a
I don't know. That's
moron.
Yeah.
What a moron.
That's ridiculous.
But I want to hear your Damian Jones thing now, because I don't want to drop that. What was your Damian Jones one?
Damian Jones is the one who
JR threw the
hot soup at.
Oh, that was your story. Okay.
I had the name mixed.
Okay.
It was all a ploy to get back out to LeBron.
That's hilarious.
How great was it? It's me and J.R. Smith again for the slander we just gave him a minute ago. How great was it when they did win the ring, and then he goes to the press conference and he's just bawling his eyes out.
Did he even wear a shirt for like 2 months?
How LeBron just saved him and was like, I'm sitting here as an NBA champion, just walks off and like hugs
his dad.
Dude,
J.R. Smith is awesome, man. Yeah, the thing with his dad and like the thing on Father's Day was awesome. How many beat the shit out of that kid during the riots or breaking into his truck?
Did anything even happen?
I don't think so. He jumped on IG and he was like, I just beat the shit out of some kid. I just wanted to tell you that before you guys found out about it. And then the video comes out. It's like, here's J.R. Smith just beating the shit out of some kid.
Yeah, right?
Sure enough.
Yeah. And then like outlets covered it and were kind of just like, like that was funny. Like,
you picked the wrong guy. He's a 6'6" NBA player. Like, you just picked the wrong guy. You thought it was a regular like 5'7" accountant. Like, it's just not. Like, sorry, you picked the wrong guy.
Dude, J.R. was on something I was listening to. And, dude, he gets such a bad rap.
Oh, dude, he's a super,
such a bad rapper because he was so nice in Denver. Even in New York, he won Sixth Man of the Year. Like,
yeah, dude.
J.R. Smith is a...
People think of J.R. as a shooter. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
360 windmill alley.
You're out of your mind. Yeah. We just saw a man fly.
Yeah, Kevin Harlan. There it is.
Dude, search J.R. Smith.
Kevin Harlan, Step Back Podcast alumni. Yeah, dude, 360 windmill alley-oops.
Stop. On the baseline.
Crazy dunks, dude. Coming out of high school.
Yeah.
All the crazy dunks.
One of the last ones, dude.
Uh-huh.
One of the last
ones. He was an awesome player in high school. All-American, McDonald's All-American.
Oh, yeah, shout out JR, man.
Yeah.
Two-time champion. Two-time NBA champion, JR Smith.
Yeah, probably still can't find his shirt. Dude, so I was watching All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes, and De'Aaron Fox was on there, and he was talking about how interesting it is to have been drafted to Sacramento, because he was like, I knew they were drafting up to get Markel at one. Everybody knew Lonzo's going three. I pretty much know where I'm falling. I know who's where. I know, like, these guys don't need a point guard. They have three point guards. Like, I pretty much know where I'm going. So I realized pretty quickly, like before the draft, he goes, rather than thinking about like being upset, like, I'm going to wind up in Sacramento, he realized like they don't really have anything there. He's like, they've never really had much. They had one cool era kind of. And other than that, like they don't really have like a history. He's like, how cool is it that he's like, rather than being upset about it and being negative about it, how cool is it that he was like, I get to go there and like create something and build this whole like thing on my own. Like, I get to build what could be a cool Sacramento Kings, the first Sacramento Kings, like, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe,
like,
maybe not win a championship, but have something to
be
remembered for.
Dude, shout out to that for having that mentality, because I just know myself, I would be like,
this sucks.
Dude, I have to, are you kidding me? I go to the Hornets.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
What do you guys think about De'Aaron Fox, by the way, too? I mean, long term.
Dude, I think he's awesome.
I think he's going to get that first contract with Sacramento, but, I mean, They're not going to attract a free agent. They have to be OKC to, like, build through the draft. Like, dude, when are you going to draft three straight MVP players and, like, take a team to the championship? Like, is De'Aaron Fox is going to be out somewhere? Like, what do you ultimately see his ceiling end up being? And, like, if you pair him up with another, like, top five guy, is that a big two that's good? Or maybe even another guy? Is he good enough to be the second best guy on a team that makes it to the finals or the conference finals?
Sacramento, in my opinion, is a small market. I mean, they are a small market, but it's not a bad place to go, man. It's in California.
Oh, yeah.
You should have no...
He was saying, trust me when I tell you, California taxes, take my contracts, cut it right down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting half of that money.
Yep. Yeah.
So that is one bad part, but go on. You're right.
I mean, people go, I mean, California, I mean, everyone's trying to live in L.A. and go to L.A. and stuff, but Sacramento, I mean, God, Steph and Clay are still in Oakland. I mean, you know, all these guys are still, you know, California is an attractive place is what I'm trying to say. And I mean, they suck. They've always sucked. They've had like two good years in their whole franchise. But if they could just get a guy there, like you said, like, if we could just get someone there, whether it's a free agent or we build through the draft, or I like this Haliburton a lot. I don't know.
Dude, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's rookie of the month.
Yeah, I saw that.
What's up?
He's really good.
So
I like him too. He can shoot.
I mean, I don't know. I think we got to get rid. Dude, why did they hire Luke Walton? Why did they?
Hope to God they didn't.
Oh my God!
Bill Walton.
Did you see the video?
Bill Walton
of him
out there trying to tell call
time out,
plays.
Time out. I don't know if you saw this. Just he was broadcasting a college basketball game the other night, and
Bill Walton.
Yeah, Dave Pasch is co-commentator. Uh-huh. Are you aware of this?
Yes.
Oh
yeah, yeah. So for those of you who don't know, he lit a candle in a cupcake.
Oh no, I didn't see this.
He had a candle or a cupcake. For Dave Pesh, because it was his birthday. And he lights the candle, he sticks it in the candle, and then just shoves his face in the candle.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
On live TV. No, Bill Walton's face. He's like, happy birthday, Dave. Rawr, and just throws the cupcake audibly in the microphone. So we're just hearing cupcake hit his...
I honestly can't believe they still give that guy air.
I can't believe he's...
Dude, it's pure entertainment. Yeah. Dude, the reason... Yeah.
Marv Albert's out of it too, man. We laugh about it every single
day. That's tough, though, because he's just getting old. Like, Bill Walton, the reason that they have him on there is because every game you're watching, though, is like at 9:30. Like, you're going to stay up and watch Oregon versus USC?
You're out of your mind.
Or you're going to watch Bill Walton. Announce the game and just go back and forth with Dave Pasch.
That's true. Dude, that's a good call.
Dude, I think, because, back on that, what's it, Marv Albert thing? Dude, it's getting bad.
All I know
is
I'm Team Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan is
the best, and he comes on our show, and he's our friend of the show. So shout out Kevin Harlan. You are the best. Every time I listen to, he's probably a great guy. I don't mean to, you know, try to sully his name or anything, but. Marv Albert forgets. What was our favorite one? For three.
Favors. For three.
Yeah, Derek Favors. He goes, Favors. For three. He's literally at the free throw line.
It's like a 14-foot.
It's like a 13-foot jump shot in the elbow.
What are you looking at?
What are you talking about?
And the
He's
worst
like halfway
is,
to the three-point line. It's not even close. He goes, Favors. For three. What? You can YouTube that. It's on YouTube.
Dude,
look that up if you want to find it.
Also look up. Marv Albert breathing heavily into the microphone.
Oh yeah, he doesn't stop. Yeah, he doesn't stop.
It's tough.
It's
man.
Like,
he's all
dude,
over
it's yeah.
Dude, he's
probably like trying to stay
Marv
awake.
Marv Albert
a little
is like
bit.
The crypt keeper, dude. He's so old.
Yeah, someone. Yeah. He's an unbelievably legendary broadcaster.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. He's
the
legendary
legend.
Calls.
But it's. I mean, are we? Do we want LeBron out there at 86?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. It's time to hang
time,
it up, dog.
There comes a time for everybody. Father time is undefeated. Okay, so let's talk about a little bit of these standings and how you guys think the playoff seeding is going to shake out.
Bet you want
to. So I'll just. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Kyle, actually, go ahead.
I'll just run through where they sit right now. I'm not going to go into their records. You can pretty much guess what they are. I'll just go through, I'll do 1 through 10. I'll do East and then West. So number one in the East right now is the 76ers. They're 15-6. The Bucks are number two. Then the Nets are three. Four is the Celtics. Five is the Pacers. Six is the Hawks. 7 is the Cavs, 8 is the Hornets, 9 is the Raptors, and 10 is the Bulls. The Bulls are 8-11.
You want to talk about the East before we get into the West then?
Sure, yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
So how do you think that's going to shake out? All right, so
like, yeah, what? We'll like each pick a team we'd like or something?
No, I mean, I'm just asking
you.
Like,
okay.
So the top top 8 are Philly, Bucks, Nets, yeah. Celtics, Pacers, Hawks, Cavs, and Hornets.
I don't think Philly's going to do anything this year. I think they'll lose to Brooklyn and whatever. But I think that this is very cool to see Joel Embiid like this.
He's playing awesome.
And it's Doc, man.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.
But I also think
Has come way down, too. Is not scoring at all.
I think a lot of this has to do with the bubble last year. He's embarrassed. In the first round.
Oh, yeah.
You were completely
And the year before, he was in tears. He's always embarrassed. Like, I'm going to change everything. And then he comes back the same.
No, this year I think was different. He came back in shape this year. I mean, he lost a bunch of weight. You remember how yoked he looked before the beginning of the season, running sand hills and stuff? You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and he eats, dude. Yeah, he eats. He's pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah, he showed up in great shape. He's getting touches and... A big problem with Embiid throughout his career has been, he's taking plays off, and you could see it. You'll see. I mean, there's games where he just doesn't show up. 8 points, 0 points. You're like, what happened? This guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But
it's 0 points.
It's not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
You're 7 feet. You're 285 pounds. You rip threes. You dunk on people and
score.
Rip threes and shoot free throws. How did you not get to the free throw line?
Yeah. Like, sure.
Go on.
But
I'm sorry.
Embiid
pisses me off.
Embiid is not doing that this year. He's very in tune every play, every quarter.
Aggressive.
There's no plays off.
Aggressive.
He's taking more good shots. He's working people out down in the paint. He 37 and 14 a couple nights ago. My man's getting buckets, man. And I think Doc has a lot to do with him getting in shape, him really taking his career seriously. Because, Doc, you guys have been the favorites in the East, or one of the favorites in the East for the past, like, 5 years. You guys haven't done shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dude.
We pay you all this money. You're supposed to be you're supposed to be the best center in the league. If we're really being honest, he's the most skilled big man in the league. Big man.
Jokic?
Yeah, but he's like a point center. So
okay.
But
right,
like
he's true big man.
Old-fashioned big man. He's the most skilled big man we have in our league.
Yes, facts. His like things are scoring and defense and rebounding.
Yeah, you haven't done anything, man. It's time to show up. And he lost a bunch of weight. He's shown up. He's playing good. They're number one in the East as of now. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know how far they're going to go, but... Shit, Embiid looks better.
Yeah, I agree. He looks awesome. Simmons doesn't look as good. But.
Well, so I have a question about that, too. Is like, you're seeing that Ben Simmons isn't really having anything right now, and I think that's because everything is running through Embiid.
Fact.
And Embiid's getting all of his own.
Fact.
So my question is, like, and teams never do this, like, can we please just not play them at the same time? Please. Because Joel Embiid is showing, like, he can go out and get you 5 or 6 assists. Dish it down into him in the block. They have guys who can make shots.
So just stagger them more.
They are each
other's problem, and everyone knows that.
Dude, and they have guys who can make shots. They both can dish out the ball. Ben Simmons is going to get, like, 18, 19 points if he's out there by himself.
So you like them as the one seed, or you think Brooklyn ends up taking that over?
Brooklyn will end up taking the one seed. But all I'm saying,
so they finish as a two, or Milwaukee takes over the two spot?
I think Milwaukee actually ends up taking over the one seed because – They're just built for the regular season. Giannis is going to go out there. He's going to get his like 35 and 17 rebounds. You know, I mean, not every night, but he's going to do that. Jrue Holiday, obviously, huge pickup. They still got some pieces there. Chris Middleton, who we were talking about, he's going to win you games. Just when it comes to the 7-game series, you can game plan for
it. Right,
like every
right.
night, you know, the Hornets aren't going to go out there and game plan. The Magic, the... You know, any scrub Western Conference team, they're not going to go out there and you know, stop them for one game. But then you go out there, okay, Bucks win game one. All right, Sixers, like, put some guys to block the lane. All right, Boston, put some guys to block the lane. Like, they're not built for it. But I got Bucks 1, Sixers 2, Brooklyn 3. Boston 4, just because I think they're going to just step up. When those two guys get to the playoffs, they're about to be money time. And like I said before, I got Boston and Brooklyn going to the Eastern Conference Finals because I kind of agree. Like, Sixers are just going to flame out again.
So does Milwaukee.
Bucks are just going to flame out again. Like, but
all I'm saying is Embiid looks different. I mean, he looks awesome.
He does.
Awesome. This is the best. Yeah, this is best he's looked his entire career. So if you guys are hating on Embiid, Embiid haters, watch the games, man.
Yeah, he looks great.
What do you guys think about those like last couple four, though? I mean, I think the Hawks could maybe win a playoff series.
Yeah, I don't want to see Charlotte, man. That was one of my points that we were going to bring up. Oh, yeah,
dude.
Is I love Charlotte, man. Gordon Hayward is 50, 43, and 86.
Yep.
Almost 50, 40, 90.
Yeah.
As a number one option.
Yep.
You think he
goes? Yeah. The team is good, man. LaMelo got the start. LaMelo out there, he gets better every night.
Yep.
Devontae Graham playing better
now.
He
hit big shots down the stretch the other night against the Cavs, hitting massive shots. Step back. I mean, deep step back threes, heavily contested.
And like you said, Gordon Hayward is just playing awesome.
They got to
like,
figure that out, though. Terry Rozier has like a – what do you have this year, like 37? Every once in a while, Rozier will have a crazy game.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I don't want to see Charlotte in the playoff series. I don't want to see Scary Terry or whatever that was. Who knows, man?
Borrego, they got a pretty awesome coach.
Borrego. Yeah. I like Borrego. He does a great job, man. He's holding LaMelo accountable. LaMelo's playing. He deserves that starting role. You know, I don't want to see them.
We
man.
Laughed about it all preseason. We were like, this kid doesn't know how to play defense. Did you remember watch those clips of those like weird games he was playing in wherever the
The JBA.
Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. This is not basketball. Like, he's throwing lobs from full court and he's taking half court shots and he's not playing defense. He's trapping everyone 94 feet. You're like, this is not how you play. You're not going to be able to play like this. And we always were like, there's no way he's going to look.
Right.
But he's
playing normal basketball.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying. We said this before hundreds of times. Is all that, like you said, all that crap in Australia.
You see the putback?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
See the putback he had and he said, on your head.
Hilarious. Uh-huh. But I think, I mean, all that crap, like you said, in Australia. I mean, he's out here. His goal is just to get to the league.
Dude,
he's
I didn't think he was going to fly at all. I was like,
No. But
he's super talented and skilled and obviously has the physical profile. He's one of these tall, awesome, tall point guards.
But LaMelo, man, is. His goal was to get to the league. He's here, and now I think he genuinely wants to win. I think he's going to adapt to how they're playing in Charlotte and how to play real basketball.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see them in a seven-game series, man, and I definitely don't want to see them in a play-in tournament.
Imagine if he had like an awesome
tournament for sure.
Yeah. Imagine if he had an awesome like vet. Imagine if he was a CP.
Ugh.
Oh, he would show him exactly.
You know how awesome that would be?
And dude,
even like Rondo. That's probably more of a similar comparison because he doesn't score like that.
Yeah.
Dude, with LaMelo on defense, too, I don't know if he's ever going to be that straight up. Like.
Oh, yeah, no, that'll never happen.
Perimeter defender. But, dude, look at his physical profile. Like you were saying, dude, he's going to get in passing lanes. He's going to create fast breaks from steals. And stuff
totally
like that,
agree.
Too.
Yeah.
He might not be a liability on defense. He might. And kind of, I was thinking about this listening to an earlier episode from you guys too, is defense in the NBA these days. If you're a good defender, you're an average defender.
Yeah, nobody plays.
Nobody plays straight up defense all the time. So if you do just enough, you're a good defender. If LaMelo does good just enough, gets his hand in passing lanes and stuff like that, he's not a liability.
That would be awesome. I'm so pro LaMelo being awesome. And Lonzo can do it.
Yeah,
Lonzo can do it. I don't know, man. I think that would be awesome if LaMelo can do it, but I just haven't seen it.
Yeah,
he's out here just guarding nothing.
His brother plays great.
Awesome.
Well, dude, wait until LaMelo puts on like 10, 15 pounds. Sue, remember Lonzo? Skinny coming into the NBA, too. He goes back after his first season, comes back. He's got shoulders.
That's true.
That's all tatted up.
He's got a little VC. He put some VC in his account. He got all the tats.
Yeah.
So, I mean, wait until LaMelo gets a little more bodied up, dude. I mean, he's gonna be at least ready for some guys like to try to rough him up, and he'll go right back at him.
So, the Hornets, I kind of like the Cavs, too. I'm sorry, not the Cavs. Atlanta, too, in a playoff series. That might, depending on where they fall and who they draw,
Bucks
like, that might be a problem for somebody. Yeah, right, exactly. That might be a problem for somebody. I'm not sure. We'll have to see how it plays out. But
You want to see Trey at
all. Is that who we think makes, like, 6, 7, and 8? We think it's Atlanta, Cleveland, and Charlotte? Or do we think, like, can Toronto, can the Bulls, can the Knicks, can anybody?
So, this is what I think.
Because remember, 7 through 10 have the play-in tournament. So,
I think it's going to be interesting because it's like Toronto is – have they've been out with guys? Maybe they're just not that good. But I just think it's so – that's the same problem that Dallas is having. Miami. is who I was thinking of.
Yes.
And it's so hard. Like,
the team is not, that's not their team.
Jimmy was out for 10 games with COVID. Right? Or he's out 2 weeks with COVID. I don't know if it was 10 games, but he's out 2 weeks for COVID.
Affecting him more than 2 weeks.
So he lost like 12 pounds, man. Yeah. Jimmy comes back, he looks like a totally different guy. You're like, it looks nothing like him. Yeah, he comes back in his,
with like 8 points in a row the other night in class.
Give me the goddamn ball. Awesome. Yeah. But I think, I don't know, man. All those teams, it's so hard in a 72-game season to come back and recover from a slow start. That's why I'm so hard on Dallas, man, because in the West, man, if you lose six straight, I mean, that's almost like a death sentence. Yeah. You know, I mean, winning six straight again, just to even get to 500 is so hard. So, I mean, the fact that Dallas is in this hole right now is just tough. And I think Miami is in that same hole too. So I would love to see Miami come in and sneak into the playoffs. But these schedules are unforgiving, man. And they just had a tough loss in Charlotte. A tough loss, right? And I don't think you can take those losses, especially with Jimmy back. I mean, we're losing time here. Time's ticking. We have a 72-game season. We don't have all 82.
Yeah, short already, But, so, I mean, you get the 7 through 10. You get the playoff. They're the play-in.
They just got to sneak into that 10 spot. And that's the one thing that I see with the East right now, too, is that you have those top four teams that are clearly, like, your potential title contenders. Like, either one of those teams, like, yeah, we're out on Milwaukee, but, like, I wouldn't be, like, totally surprised if they made it to the finals and got past, you know, Giannis finally.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but, like, those last four to six teams there, like, dude, it's a crapshoot. Like, if they go on a run, dude, the Hornets, as much as we love them, the Hawks, like, those teams could easily lose six straight, too, and Miami and wins
fall
six straight.
Right out.
Yeah, so,
like,
for
it's,
sure.
It's
that's
not
true.
Like the West where you're just a straight gauntlet. Like, yeah, you for know, sure. What you're saying about the Mavericks, like, dude, you lose six. You know, you are not getting into the playoffs unless you're five games over 500. In the West, at
it's
least.
Tough.
So the West. So here, check out the West. So number one in the West is Utah. The Jazz are 16-5. And then you have number two is the Clippers. Three is the Lakers. They have the exact same record. That came down to the head-to-head matchup.
Yeah.
So two and three is the same. Four is Denver Nuggets. Five is the Suns. Phoenix in the fifth seed right
CP.
Now. Yep, CP Booker with the game winner the other night. Brilliant shot.
Awesome.
CP is just, we knew this was
gut-wrenching loss.
They have so much
talent. Teach these guys how to win.
Yes, correct.
Gut-wrenching loss for Dallas. Gut-wrenching. I mean, massive loss.
I know you have a point to make about that, so let me finish this here. So six is the Memphis Grizzlies, which is awesome to see. Love that. Seven is Portland. Eight is the Houston Rockets, which is really cool. Would love to see them squeeze in.
Yeah.
They're playing awesome. Nine is the Warriors. And 10 is San Antonio. So what do you guys think about the West? Do you think that's about right? Can Utah finish as the number one
seed? Shout out. All right, obviously Mitchell is awesome, but Mitchell's numbers are pretty much the same as they were last year. Uh-huh. Not knocking Mitchell. Mitchell is awesome. We're very pro Donovan Mitchell here. But the guy that's been awesome for them has been Conley. Conley stepped up. I mean, this is the Mike Conley that they paid for. This is the Mike Conley we've been waiting for. So he's playing awesome. I mean, that's a big reason why they're, 16-4 or whatever? I mean,
16-5.
16-5, yeah.
Number one seed.
Mike Conley's always been an elite defender. He's left-handed, could always handle the ball, could always get buckets. Mike Conley's super underrated. I've always loved Mike Conley. So I'm glad that he found his
same
way in Utah.
Drip.
Yeah, same.
Drip.
With
the
dreads.
Braids and the sleeve and the headband.
Yeah,
he's always sick. Dripped out.
Yeah. And
the horse tournament.
He wears the knee sleeves, too. He just looks awesome.
Yeah, dude, Mike Conley very pro Mike Conley here.
Yeah,
but,
he's awesome.
And I'm glad that he's figuring it out in Utah, and Utah's 16-5. That's sick. But, yeah, okay. So my point here on the West is Dallas, man. And I know I keep talking about this, and I'm going to keep hammering this home because I just – like I said, man, six straight in the West is just – I mean, that's so tough. You're digging yourself such a hole. And I know you have Luka. I get it. But, I mean, Luka does so much for that team, and Dorian Finney-Smith is going down. His three-point percentage is down. Tim Hardaway's three-point percentage is down. Kristaps Porzingis' numbers are cut in half. You lose Seth Curry. You don't have DeLon Wright anymore. You don't have these guys that you had that were knocking down shots. This game against Phoenix, Luka drew the entire defense and made an unbelievable no-look pass to Dorian Finney-Smith in the corner. Clanks the wide-open three in the corner. You know, it's like, dude, that was to, like, close the game out, you know? So I don't know, man. This Luka thing is super tough. Like, Kristaps needs to figure it out. He's 30% from deep. Guys aren't guarding him. He's not posting up. So it's like, dude, we're playing like 4-on-5 out here on offense. Yeah.
He's 20 a game. You say that, but he's 20 a game.
Yeah, but he's not. His numbers, his metrics are way down. Look at his metrics.
I know. I agree with you. I was going to say I'm moving more to your side slowly. Yeah. I can be convinced over to your side. I'm not out on him like you are.
Yeah, I'm done.
That's bizarre.
Well, here's my thing is.
His metrics are terrible. His metrics are an average NBA. You might as well just have a 7-3 Wendell Carter.
Go ahead.
How long do you keep riding, though, with Kristaps before you say, okay, we're finally out on him? And then once
I'm out now.
He's 28.
He's 20 a game right now, so is there still someone that's going to take him and give you some picks for him?
His peak was 24-9. Why is 20-8 so much that you're like,
Tim, what would you give up for Kristaps?
I mean, I think...
Would you give up multiple first-round picks?
3 first-rounders and maybe, like, 2 starting-caliber guys.
You would give all that?
Dude, that's what you're looking for to get back, or that's what you're giving up? Dude, what if you're the Bulls GM? What are you giving
Kristaps
for Kristaps
is on the block.
Dude, okay, if you're the Bulls...
You're in trade discussions.
Wendell, Kobe White, and 3 first-round picks for Kristaps.
You're out of your mind. I can't do that. That's so much value.
Look what they gave up for Drew Holiday.
That's true. You got like 5.
That's what the market is right now. Yeah, I might not like it, but I mean, you're getting another all-star caliber
just for
player.
Him to play.
His argument is that is not worth that.
Oh,
he's 20-8.
I don't think
14 lower body injuries since his Achilles injury.
He's 24-9 on a bad team as the number one option. He's 20-8 on a last year good team as the second option. He went down 4 points and 1 rebound. Like, that's a fair jump down to go from a first option to a second option and from a bad team to a good team.
Even though, obviously, right now, part of what Pat's kind of getting at, though, too, is, like, dude, you need him to step up and win games, too.
Fact.
If you're the number two guy and Luka's like, dude, Luka has
everything put on him right now.
Yes. Dude, Luka's walking off the court Luka's every
at 27,
day, like
9.9, and 9.8 or something.
All these guys' numbers shooting is, oh, my God, their shooting numbers are down, bro. You know, it's unbelievable. They were the number one offense ever last year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I can't hate on Luka for shooting 33 or whatever percent from deep.
So he shot last year.
Yeah. It's like, whatever,
he's
man.
A volume guy.
Yeah. It's whatever. He's 27-9-9, whatever you said, right? And Kristaps needs to step up, man. Like you said, like, if you're shooting 30% from deep, what am I paying you for? Right. What are we doing?
Dude, and let's go get some guys. Let's go get some chances to potentially.
Because we're wasting time with Luka.
Yeah.
This is his third year. Are we going another year with Kristaps? We're going to do the same thing again?
Well, that's what I'm saying is how long
you keep saying this, but I'm saying, like, they're not going to deal him.
I know, but, like, this is so aggravating because they're not going to do it. Is Luka and Kristaps going to win a title?
But why wouldn't you do
it? Why don't they get rid of Carlisle?
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's never gonna happen. It's just not going to happen,
dude.
Yeah,
it's never going to happen.
Maybe down the road, maybe they'll deal Porzingis. Right now, dude, they just got him. They love him. They just want to get him healthy, and they believe in that roster.
He's never
they
healthy.
They suck, but I don't know. Yes, I know. I'm aware.
So that's the thing.
They're 8-13.
So why do you hold on to him for that long? Dude, the NBA has been so like, let's just dish him now. He's a big, tall,
foreign European, 7'3" guy who reigns threes.
And let's look at.
He doesn't reign threes.
They love
now,
him.
Like,
but I'm saying, you know, they look at that side of him.
Sure.
Let's look at.
Do you want to know who their president of basketball operations is?
Tell me.
Donnie Nelson, Don Nelson's son, runs the basketball operations in Dallas.
Yeah, awesome.
Like that. First of all, that's an awesome move because Don Nelson is just legendary.
A basketball genius.
Right.
A wizard, yeah.
Great, great hire by Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
First of all.
Who never makes any bad decisions.
Great owner comes in when he like is supposed to come in and make good decisions, lets everybody else make all the basketball choices and stuff like that too.
But he's like involved, like he cares.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he goes
like,
to the games. We were talking about this before.
He's awesome. Mark Cuban, we were just watching Shark Tank a little bit ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Cuban's a man.
Dude, I don't know, man.
He's giving stock advice to the Redditors.
Yeah, hilarious.
To the moon.
Yeah, to the moon. Hilarious. But, all right, so, I don't know, man. Kristaps, it's so tough out here. It's 14 lower body injuries since he's been in the league. 5th year. Hey, let's look in the career path of 7'3" bigs that can shoot. So let's look at that. Yeah,
at least he can shoot. At least he could shoot.
He's 30%. He's not shooting now.
That's dude, the Bulls tough. Are a perfect example of a team who will snatch him right up and be like,
I'm good on that. This is want that?
Lonzo and KP and
I'm out. I'm out. That team blows. That team sucks.
What if they keep lowering
though? That team's pretty good, man.
That team sucks.
They're definitely winning a playoff.
Sucks.
That team is fifth in the East.
That's blows. Yeah, that's a 5 seed in the East.
Yeah, probably, but they suck. They'll lose in the first round to, I don't know, but they'll lose.
Yeah, that's true.
Chris Epps will get hurt. That's Lonzo true. Will go 0-for-8 from deep, and LaVine will be 27 a game again, and we're back where we started.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know?
I believe that.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan screaming at people.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, dude, I didn't sign up for this. I'm paying $30 million for you to get hurt and shoot 30% from three. Yeah.
Dude, how about Donovan calls the timeout 50 seconds in the game the other day, too, and he's like, I didn't say a word. They just talked about it, came back out, and like, Put up a
dude, how refreshing is it that like Billy Donovan doesn't call timeouts with like 4 seconds left in games?
Down 15.
You're like, dude.
All right, but like, all right. So let's go back to the Western Conference playoff standings. Like, do we think like the Pelicans are 7-12? They're in 14th. Do we think they're not a playoff team? Do we think the Mavericks are in 13th? They're 8-13. Do we think they're not a playoff team? Like, some of these teams got to go. So we got – these are the eight teams. We got Utah, LA. So you got Clippers, Lakers, Utah, Denver, Phoenix, Grizzlies, Trailblazers, and Rockets. Who's going to bring in Dallas, the Pelicans? Are the Thunder aren't a playoff?
No, they're done. They're going to probably move some pieces to get worse.
But,
so,
like, okay, so if we
just
take
keep
out
– keep acquiring every –
if we take out Memphis – like, Phoenix is probably a playoff team. That's probably legit. But, like, okay, let's say Memphis comes out.
They're a playoff team.
And Luka
sneaks
in.
They're definitely they're a lock. Put
them
in.
Memphis? Who you take out to get in Luka?
Oh, that's not happening.
He's out.
You don't think the Dallas is making the playoffs?
And, you know, the Knicks have the Dallas pick.
You think Dallas is not making the playoffs? You think Dallas is not making the playoffs?
They're out.
We're redoing the scrub bet of the month.
Okay,
for February.
Yeah.
Run it.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play. No disrespect whatsoever, but I'm sorry to tell everybody the truth. The man cannot play the game of basketball.
Run it. The scrub bet of the month for February. Oh, we can't do that for February. Whatever. It's another scrub bet of the month. We'll run another jersey on it when it comes.
Yeah.
That's tough, though, because we are putting them all in the playoffs, so we're just going to be buying jerseys left and right to the playoffs.
And you got to wear a Porzingis jersey.
Dude, how are you guys doing my guy like that? He's actually not my guy, but he's not a scrub. Porzingis is not a scrub. He's 20 a game.
Yeah, you're going to feel
these.
They're
not getting in.
You're
going to
feel these.
They've lost.
Bro, there's 8 games back. Or how many games back are they?
So you think these 8 are set?
No.
Denver,
yeah.
Clippers, Lakers,
but that's not an
Nuggets.
Excuse, man.
What do you like the top 4? Or at least to make the playoffs. Utah, Clippers, Lakers, Nuggets. Those 4
locks.
Are locks.
Phoenix. Lock.
Memphis.
Lock.
Portland.
Lock.
Oh. Houston.
That 8 spot's up for grabs.
That's your top
because
8.
You need the
that's
Warriors.
That's your top 8. And let me remind you. That's your 8. And let me remind you that the top 10, 7 through 10, get a play-in tournament.
Yeah.
So then your next seeds would be Warriors sitting at 9 and San Antonio sitting at 10.
No, I don't care about San Antonio.
Can Dallas or the Pelicans?
Pelicans out. Dallas
can
out.
Can they squeeze into that 10?
No.
And maybe give somebody a problem?
For sure not the Pelicans. If the Mavericks get hot, if Kristaps starts playing a little more, not just Kristaps, like you said, everybody's got to start making shots. Luka cannot be walking off the floor like he's been put through hell every single night. I mean, he's simply going to run out of gas.
Part of that is on Carlisle, man.
Oh, 100%.
Straight up, because they didn't bring J.J. Barea back. J.J. Barea was the leader of that locker room for years. Whether he played a lot or not, he ran that locker room. He was the leader of that locker room. So you decide not to bring him back, and Carlisle in the first couple games of the year say, no, Luka is the leader. He's 21 years old, man. He doesn't know how to lead an NBA team yet. He can't tell these guys. He just yells at them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if he's really ready, and I think Carlisle maybe pushed that on him too fast. Not that he can't or shouldn't be able to lead a team, but, I mean, he's 21 years old, and he's the best player on the team, one of the best players in the league, but He just doesn't have that leadership quality yet. And I don't think it's his fault. He's 21.
LeBron didn't have
that. Yeah, no.
LeBron didn't have that until 29, 30, in his 30s.
Totally.
Yeah. D-Wade was arguably the leader on that.
At least
team
the first year. And then remember, D-Wade has to give the keys over that whole.
Totally.
Yeah,
so,
but
I know,
like, he had to learn to win. Like, that's where he got the 100%. That whole thing is, like, as cliche as that is, it's like, that's legit.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like we were saying, KD going to the Warriors and shit.
And it's not a skill thing. It's not like a skill thing. The skill has always been there. Just like for Luka, the skill is there. Like, dude, you got to figure out how to make these guys better and how to generate wins. It's all good and well when you're dropping 30, 15, and 15. But
facts.
Would you rather have 30, 15, and 15 in an L or 27, 8, and 8 in a dub? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
these are questions
sure.
you got to ask yourself. You know
Dude,
what I'm saying?
They need someone.
They just need to make shots, man. And I don't want to hear the COVID thing as an excuse. Dame's doing it without CJ.
Yeah.
The rest of the league is dealing with it, man. Everybody has guys out.
It is bizarre how some of these teams that we thought were, at the very least, they were good basketball teams are garbage. What's up with Miami? What's up with the Pelicans? What's up with Dallas? Like, do we have so many of these teams that are just underwhelming?
The West is so stacked right now, though, too. I mean, I look at some of these teams like the Grizzlies and the Suns. Like, they deserve to be there. The Blazers, you're going to kick them out. Yeah, the Spurs, we don't really like them too much to get in. I mean, they're the 10 seed right now. I don't have them getting in over any of these other guys. But they have arguably the best coach in the league, a young player, Jonte Murray. I mean, they've got some pieces, and they got good coaching. Like, Pop knows how to win.
I agree with that.
Pop is almost more important than – I mean, obviously not more important than Luka, but his knowledge – learning how to
it's
win.
It's like a system, I agree with what you're saying in terms of the West, but, like, what's up with Miami? What's up with Orlando? That was a playoff team last year. Like,
yeah, but they don't have Isaac or Fultz both out for the year, so they're done. It's over.
So it's done.
And
what's up with Miami?
Miami, Jimmy
just
was
got
out.
Their
Jimmy
team
was
together.
Out, yeah.
So can they make a push?
Possibly.
In the East, I think they can make a push.
But they got to stay healthy,
but
man.
But you guys don't believe in Dallas, and you don't believe in the Thunder, and you don't believe in the Pelicans.
No.
Not even if they get – can they get a 10 seed?
The Pelicans play no defense, man. Zion Williamson and Jackson Hayes are
They're
the
also
two-
not done. You're the guy telling me we can't judge the Nets based on what they are now. We got to realize they're not done. The Pelicans aren't done.
Yeah.
First of all, they're talking about trading JJ. They're talking about trading Zion. Lonzo, rather. They realize – their team sucks, and, like, it shouldn't because, like, they have awesome players. So why do we suck? So they're moving stuff, too.
Well, Zion and Jackson Hayes are the lowest defensive-rated backcourt in the NBA.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
Both those guys are great defensive players.
Yeah, and they play no defense. Actually, Zion got subbed out the other night.
For defensive assignments. Me and you have been harping on Zion's defense. He looks like he doesn't know what he's doing, and he doesn't care to.
That's Van Gundy's whole thing.
Coaching. I know. Yeah.
If you're coming in here and he's playing defense and your guys aren't playing defense,
correct.
We need to switch it up.
Ring
it's
it up.
Not working.
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. And why did Alvin Gentry get fired even?
I'm probably pro that fire. I mean,
Well, who else were you going to bring in, though?
We could get a better guy.
Probably.
Get a better guy.
The Lakers got Frank Vogel off his couch.
Yeah, right?
Get a better guy.
Granted, he was like the sixth guy in order, but still, I mean, comes in a guy who's like, and he's a perfect guy too to come in and coach an NBA team because his mantra is like defense and like a team aspect. Like, dude, those Pacers teams were good.
Yeah,
but
facts.
They just had Paul George. I mean, they were all about, hey, let's play together as a team. Let's play defense. Like, when you have a guy like LeBron on your team in AD, like, those guys got offense covered.
Facts.
You don't have to draw up offensive plans or anything. You're like, hey, let's go out there.
That
and
is
play
your
with
offense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, dude, and LeBron's a coach on the floor. Like, Rondo is a coach on the bench, on the floor. Like, you know, you come in, you're like, all right, hey, we're going to talk about defense. We're going to play with energy. We're going to do all that stuff. When you're out there, LeBron, you got the offense figured out. Like, you know, Stan Van Gundy, I don't think he has that.
Who wins the title?
The Lakers.
Who wins the title?
Lakers.
Lakers in five.